I want us to open our Bibles, please, in the book of Habakkuk. That is the first chapter of this little book of Habakkuk, commencing to read at verse number 1. And as we open our Bibles, let us just continue to study the Word of God today, and may the Lord just write His Word upon each and every one of our hearts. Habakkuk chapter 1, commencing to read at verse number 1. The burden which Habakkuk the prophet did see. O Lord, how long shall I cry, and thou wilt not hear? Even cry out unto thee of violence, and thou wilt not save. Why dost thou show me iniquity, and cause me to behold grievance? For spoiling and violence are before me, and there are that raise up strife and contention. Therefore the law is slacked, and judgment doth never go forth. For the wicked doth compass about the righteous, therefore wrong judgment proceedeth. Behold ye among the heathen, and regard, and wonder marvelously, for I will work a work in your days, which ye will not believe, though it be told you. For lo, I raise up the Chaldeans, that bitter and hasty nation, which shall march through the breadth of the land, to possess the dwelling places that are not theirs. They are terrible and dreadful. Their judgment and their dignity shall proceed of themselves. Their horses also are swifter than the leopards, and are more fierce than the evening wolves. And their horsemen shall spread themselves, and their horsemen shall come from far. They shall fly as the eagle that hasteth to eat. They shall come all for violence. Their faces shall sup up as the east wind, and they shall gather the captivity as the sand. And they shall scoff at the kings, and the princes shall be a scorn unto them. They shall deride every stronghold, for they shall heap dust and take it. Then shall his mind change, and he shall pass over and offend, imputing this his power unto his God. Art thou not from everlasting, O Lord, my God, mine Holy One? We shall not die, O Lord, thou hast ordained them for judgment, and, O mighty God, thou hast established them for correction. Thou art of purer eyes than to behold iniquity, and canst not look evil, and canst not look upon iniquity. Wherefore lookest thou upon them that deal treacherously, and holdest thy tongue when the wicked devour the man that is more righteous than he, and makest men as the fishes of the sea, as the creeping things that have no ruler over them. They take up all of them with the angle, they catch them in their net, and gather them in their drag, therefore they rejoice and are glad. Therefore they sacrifice unto their net, and burn incense unto their drag, because by them their portion is fat, and their meat plenteous. Shall they therefore empty their net, and not spare continually to slay the nations? Amen. And we know that God will add His blessing to the reading of His precious word, for Jesus' sake. Amen and amen. In this little book of Habakkuk that is before us, we have brought before us a conversation between a man, Habakkuk, the prophet of the Lord, an Old Testament prophet, and the God whom he worshipped. This is one of the 12 books that are known in the Scriptures as the 12 minor prophets. I've said in our study of the minor prophets before, they're called minor prophets not because they have a minor message, but because of their size, the size of them. The book of Isaiah, the book of Jeremiah, the book of Ezekiel, certainly are not minor prophets. They are the major prophets of God. But here we find, in this little book here of Habakkuk, there are just simply three chapters in it. It's one of the 12 minor prophets. But the message that is given here is a powerful message from God Himself. In actual fact, in this little book here, we have a text of Scripture that God used nightly, because it is the first mention of that text of Scripture, although mentioned again in the New Testament, that God used to shake Martin Luther to his foundations and brought him to repentance and to saving faith in Jesus Christ. In chapter 2, verse 4, it says, "The just shall live by faith." And justification by faith alone in Christ alone was a great message that indeed not only shook Martin Luther to his depths of a sinful heart, but praise God, brought him to saving faith in Christ, and also through that shook Europe and brought the great mighty reformation of biblical truth that we have enjoyed for many, many years. And in this book we certainly see the message, the justified shall live by faith, the victory of faith in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, the one who is the same yesterday, the one who is the same today, and praise God, the one who is the same forever. Now, whenever we think of this little book of Habakkuk, and we'll be seeking to study it for a time, and we're looking at this book, and we think of the day in which Habakkuk lived. And, of course, the day in which he lived was a day of darkness. It was a day on the eve of captivity, because the people of Judah were about to go into captivity. And so we find it was the day before destruction, as it were. It was a dark day, an evil day, in which the prophet of God lived. The Babylonian army was about to destroy the nation of his beloved, Habakkuk's beloved Judah, and take the people into Babylonian captivity. The temple, which was the center of Jewish worship, was going to be ransacked, and it was going to be destroyed. And it was at such a time as this that God called a faithful servant to stand for him. In actual fact, Habakkuk had a contemporary preacher at that time. He was one of the major prophets and prophecies of the Old Testament. His contemporary preacher was Jeremiah. And of course, you can study not only Habakkuk, but also study Jeremiah to understand the times in which these men lived. But what we can say is this, as you study the Word of God, that there were difficult times, there were dark times. It wasn't an easy time to be called to proclaim the message from God. And friend, the message that God gave them, which was a message that Israel or that Judah would be brought into bondage and into Babylonian captivity, it was not an easy message that people wanted to hear. They did not want to believe that they were facing the day of judgment. They did not want to believe that their sin was going to bring the judgment of God upon them. And of course, in this day in which we live, when we bring that message before men and women today, we find that their hearts are equally as hardened. They are as equally as indifferent. They are as equally careless about the things of God. And people will not listen until the day of destruction comes, and they're taken away and swept away under the judgment of Almighty God. Now, the king at that time, the king of Judah, was an evil king. He was a man that led the nation not in the ways of God, although his nation had been blessed. But he was an evil king. The king was called Jehoiakim. He was a man who had turned his back on God. And at that time, judgment was at the very door. God was about to judge Judah for their sin. And God calls a man, and God sets him apart. His name is Habakkuk. And here in this chapter 1, he is conversing with God. He is in conversation with God about the situation of the day in which we live. As we look at here, it was a day of apostasy. It was a great day of declension. It was a day of sin. It was a day when man had turned their back on God. Friend, that's our day. That's the day in which God has called us to serve and to live for Him in. And I want us to see what happened here, because many in Judah had left their first love. They had turned away from God. And the sad thing is this, in our wee province today and across this great United Kingdom, and many have left their first love. And even some that once knew truth for God, once used to stand up for God, sad to say, they're taken away in the clouds of apostasy. And they have turned away and they've turned back. And they're no longer walking with God. You know, we see first of all here in the opening verse, let's read it. the burden which Habakkuk the prophet is saying. And there we see the first thought. It was Habakkuk's humbling burden. His humbling burden. It says the burden which Habakkuk the prophet did see. What we see here is simply this, that Habakkuk was a man with a great burden. He was a man that was going to be used of God, friend, but God uses those mightily who have a burden for the things of God and a burden for the land and the nation in which they live, as Habakkuk had in his day. The burden which Habakkuk, the prophet, did see. He was a man with a burden. Let me ask a question just right in the very beginning, friend. Looking at our situation, looking at the religious scene in the United Kingdom, where churches are closing and mosques are opening, where indeed we're seeing a great declension, a great departure from the old paths, where there's a great cloud of ecumenism and Romanism that hangs across the United Kingdom, and darkness that is on every hand, where spiritually the land is far away from God. And even in this wee province of ours, friends, we see those same clouds gathering around us. Here's my question. Do you, like Habakkuk, do I, like Habakkuk, do we possess a burden for the situation and for the land in which we live? Is our heart burdened? Is our heart burdened? Habakkuk's heart was burdened for Judah. It was his nation. It was the land he loved. It was the nation that God had blessed him to be brought up in. And friend, he had got a burden whenever he looked at the nation that he loved. Are we burdened for our nation? Friends, as we look across the great United Kingdom that once was a bastion for truth and righteousness, where the Queen of England once said the secret of England's greatness was the open Bible. And we see today churches closing, the Bibles closed, and the great clouds of apostasy on every hand, and the rise of false teachings and false isms and cults on every hand. Have we a burden for our nation? Have we a burden for our town? God has called us to this district to serve the Lord in. But have we a burden for the people of this town? Our neighbors, our friends, those that we live among, those a friend we work with, whenever we see them, and we see them as those that are burdened with sin, and we see them cast down with the oppression of iniquity, and we see them caught up with the sins of this day and generation, I ask the honest question before God, do you have a burden for this district? Is there a breaking of your heart? Is there a burden in your soul this morning? Are you burden for the lost that you live among, and the burden for the lost that you work among? Here we find that he had a burden for his nation. Do you have that burden for your town? Listen, do you have a burden for your family? We are having a family service this evening. I wonder before God, how many have you asked? I wonder how many have you sought to get in under the sound of the Word of God, friend? I have seen people, and honestly, in my years of ministry, I have found people and they're brokenhearted when their loved ones are taken out into God's eternity and they die in their sin and they drop into hell and they realize that they're lost for all eternity. But friends, listen, there's a guilt in their soul because God had given them the opportunity to reach them. God had sent them on occasions to teach them and reach them, but they failed to do it. They had no burden for their family until it was too late. Until it was all over, friend. Until the trapdoor of hell was shut upon them for all eternity. And they went into the darkness of the damned to groan and to cry and to weep there. And to gnash there their teeth for all eternity. And it's too late now, for it's all over. And that was the first time that many of God's people had got burden to cry. I remember a lady one day, one of the tragedies of this wee province of ours, standing on a lovely Sunday afternoon. I'll never forget it. We were burying a young man of the security forces. And he had gone out into eternity, returning home from duty, shot down like a dog by the terrorists of the Provisional IRA. And he was taken out into God's eternity. It was a lovely Sunday afternoon. I stood there outside that church building. The place was packed. We were making our way to the graveyard. And one of the loved ones who I knew, that aunt of that boy, came to me, and she looked into my face, and the tears were running down her cheeks, and she asked me this question. She said, "William, tell me, where is he? Where is he?" And the tears were real, and the brokenness of her heart was real. "Where is he?" Friend, she could not answer that question. She was his loved one. And you know, as I thought about it, and I looked at her, my heart was broken, but I'm not the sealer of destinies. I don't know where that lad stood in reality before God. I remember him as a young fellow when I was going to school, but I was away from home many years. I didn't know where he was, and I couldn't settle that question or answer it. But I remember her saying these words to me, never forget it. She said, "William, if I thought he was in hell, I would go mad. If I thought he was in hell, I would go mad." And I looked into her face and I wondered. I wonder how many tears did you shed when he was living? I wonder how many times you spoke to him when God had given you the opportunity. I wonder how many times did you cry with a broken heart before God when you had the blessed opportunity to reach him. But friend, it wasn't till he was dead and out into God's eternity, she said those words. "If I thought he was in hell, I would go mad." Friend, let me tell you, Habakkuk was a man with a burden. He was burdened for his nation. Are you? Or does it really matter to you that this nation's going to hell, friend? Does it really matter to you that the houses of God are closing and the dens of iniquity that will damn our young people are opening? Does it really matter to you that the evil places of sin are, my friend, being packed out and God's houses are being emptied? Does it really matter? I'm not talking to the ungodly. I'm talking about, because you see, friend, the ungodly is still in their sin. I'm talking to God's children. Does it matter to you? You profess to love Jesus. And loving Christ, you profess to follow him. And if you've got the Savior's heart, he looked at the multitude and he was moved with compassion. Friend, does it matter to you that your loved ones, not only your nation, not only your district, not only your town, not only your family, but friend, does it matter to you about our churches? Because many of them, many within God's houses today, their hearts have grown cold. Many, friends, let me tell you, are going through a formality of religion. But their heart's far from God. They're not living for God. They're not being the person, friend. They've lost the zeal, they've lost the fire. And as far as the things of God are concerned, they're indifferent. Oh, yes, they're going through the system. But their hearts are away from God. Does that matter to you? Does that cause a burden upon your soul today? Look across the world, friend. Multitudes, every moment that the clock ticks, precious souls are going out into God's eternity. Young people are being raised up into darkness. Young people are being raised up into homes, friend, that have no time for God. Walk along the streets, the opportunity of walking the streets of London, and from the House of Commons, and friends, to see the people there, just multitudes of every race, every people, every tongue. And I stopped at Trafalgar Square the other evening and stood there. I just watched the teeming multitudes, listen, just driving past. The cars were just swizzing past me and people were walking past. Yet the multitude, vast multitude, know not the Savior. Vast multitude have never been told. Vast multitude have never been reached. You know what the Lord Jesus said before he went back to heaven? He says, "Go ye into all the world. Preach the gospel to every creature." That's what we're seeking to do through the system of our world ministry today. It's even through the internet to reach precious souls with the gospel of our Lord and Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. For the fields are white and they're ready to harvest. But you remember the rest of the verse, friend. Laborers are few. Does that burden you? The fields are closing today because there's nobody to go. Nobody to go. Nobody willing to reach precious souls for our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And we have so much. For we have been raised with the gospel. But many in the world today have absolutely nothing. Let me tell you, friend. It says this. Notice the burden which Habakkuk the prophet did see. What he saw broke his heart. What he saw in the nation, it burdened his heart. It broke him. It softened his heart. Many of God's people are cold today. To be honest, many of God's people are hard. They have a hard heart. And they're not willing to be broken before God. Do you know what broke him? As he looked at the nation he loved, friend. And he saw the people of his nation. He didn't only see people. He saw judgment. He saw judgment. And as he looked at his nation, he knew that his nation was ripe for judgment. For the judgment of God. And I'm honest, must be honest before God, friend. I believe that our nation is ripe for judgment. I believe that our nation is ripe, and even this wee province of ours that has been so richly blessed with gospel preaching. And yet many of God's people are so indifferent. They have turned the Lord's Day into a Sunday morning only. And they'll sit around their houses, or they'll sit around somebody else's house, and they'll talk about everything and anything but Christ. And the house of God is empty of the people of God. They do not reach the lost because they have no burden for the lost. For if they had, they would seek to bring them in. Yes, his day was dark. And if you want to grasp the truth of that day, see how far that they had gone, friend. Then turn with me to the 36th chapter of the book of Jeremiah. Jeremiah chapter 36. And here we find the day that Habakkuk is talking about. This is the burden that he had for his nation. Because it was the day before destruction. Judgment was coming. Jeremiah chapter 36. And it came to pass the year Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, that this word came unto Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, take thee a roll of a book, and write therein all the words that I have spoken unto thee against Israel, and against Judah, and against all the nations, from the day I spake unto thee, from the days of Josiah, even unto this day. You know, God didn't leave them without a word. God had a word for them. God had a warning to give to them. And why was God speaking? Listen, verse 3. It may be that the house of Judah will hear all the evil which I purpose to do unto them. In other words, the judgment that is coming. God says, I'm sending judgment. And I want you to tell them about it. I want you to warn them about it. I want you to be faithful. Take the word and write it in a book. Friends, listen, we have got the word. It's written in the book. You and I have no excuse, man and woman, in this nation, in this day and generation. We are without excuse. We have got the words already written in the book. We have the whole revelation from God Himself. God has given us the whole of the story. In the Old Testament times, they had only part of it. Even in the day of the disciples, he had only part of it. But God has given us his complete revelation. There is no excuse for this generation. There is no excuse for men and women. The handiwork of God not only declares the glory of the Lord, but God has given us his word. God has revealed to us himself through his precious word. And through the foolishness of preaching, he has ordained to save them that believe. It was a day of opposition in Jeremiah's day because he was preaching a message that was not accepted. It was not wanted. And friend, the vast majority of people don't want this message today. They do not believe, really, that judgment is coming. They do not believe that God's going to break forth in judgment, that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, will come again. They do not believe it. And God has given here a word to Jeremiah. And he says, Jeremiah, put it. Take thee a roll of a book. And he said, write it in it. Because this is my word to them. And he says, I want them to read. And as they read it and as they hear what I am going to do, he says, it may be that the house of Judah will hear. But notice, not only hear, because hearing is the first thing. How shall they hear without a preacher? God says they will hear, that they may return, every man from his evil way, that I may forgive his iniquity and their sins. God is a forgiving God. And God desires to reach out to this people, and God wants to forgive them their iniquity. And God says, Jeremiah, write it. And the purpose of the writing and the purpose of the warning is that Judah may repent. Oh, that she might return to the God of her forefathers. Oh, that she might return, turn back again to the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Then verse 4, then Jeremiah called Baruch the son of Neriah. Baruch wrote from the mouth of Jeremiah all the words of the Lord, which he had spoken unto him upon a roll of the book. He wrote it all, friend. He was faithful to God. Thank God for a faithful man. And Jeremiah commanded Baruch, saying, I am shut up. I cannot go into the house of the Lord. Therefore go thou and read the roll. I want the people to hear this. Read the roll which thou hast written from my mouth, the words of the Lord. You see, this is not Jeremiah's word. This is God's word. All Jeremiah did was just repeat the word that God had given him, and it was written by Baruch in the book. And he said, I want you to take the words of the Lord and read them in the ears of the people in the Lord's house upon the fasting day. And also thou shalt read them in the ears of all Judah that come out of their city. It may be they will present their supplication before the Lord and will return every one from his evil way. For great is the anger and the fury that the Lord hath pronounced against his people. God's angry with the sin of his people. Friend, let me say this morning. If you're not walking with God, friend, and you are one of God's children, let me tell you, God's angry with your sin. God's angry with your sin. We preached last Lord's Day evening, and we were reading, judgment must begin. The house of God. Among the people of God, friend. And God says, read the book. That they may present their supplication, in other words, that they might fall in repentance before God. That they might realize the awfulness of their sin, of turning away from the God of their fathers. That they might fall in repentance before him. For the broken heart. For great is the anger and the fury of the Lord that the Lord hath pronounced against. Verse 8, and Baruch the son of Neriah did according
all that Jeremiah the prophet commanded him, reading in the book the words of the Lord in the Lord's house. Again, faithful to God. Faithful. Came to pass in the fifth year of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, in the ninth month, that they proclaimed a fast before the Lord to all the people in Jerusalem, and to all the people that came from the cities of Judah unto Jerusalem. Then read Baruch in the book the words of Jeremiah in the house of the Lord, in the chamber of Jeremiah, the son of Shaphan, the scribe, in the higher court at the entry of the new gate of the Lord's house, in the ears of all the people, friend. He wants others to hear it, friend. He set a special occasion. People say to me, why do you have a family night, friend? Let me tell you. We want the family to hear the word of God. We want to reach others. And here we find that there was a special day set apart. And the purpose was that indeed that they would hear the word of God. That a greater number would be reached. That they would repent of their sin and turn to God. Whenever those that heard and read the words, and their hearts were moved. And so therefore they said, we better tell the king. The king of Judah needs to know what God is going to do about the judgment. Verse 19, let's go quickly. Then said the princes unto Baruch, go hide thee and thou and Jeremiah, and let no man know where ye be. You see, it was a day of persecution. Jeremiah was already shut up. He hadn't his freedom. But it had a message from God, friend, a message that God wanted him to deliver. And God always has his instruments, and God was able, whilst Jeremiah couldn't go, Baruch was able to go. And now the princes, having heard the word, friend, they says, go hide thee and thou and Jeremiah. Let no man know where you be. And they went into the king, into the court. They laid up the roll in the chamber of Elishama, the scribe, and they told all the words in the ears of the king. So the king sent Jehudai to fetch the roll. And he took it out of Elishama's, the scribe's chamber, and Jehudai read it in the ears of the king, and in the ears of all the princes which stood beside the king. Now the king sat in the winter house in the ninth month, and there was a fire in the hearth burning before him. Mark this, friend. It came to pass that when Jehudai had read three or four leaves, the king cut it with a penknife. And he cast it into the fire that was on the hearth until all the roll was consumed in the fire that was on the hearth. You see, friend, he didn't want God. The king didn't want God. The king didn't want a word from God. And so we find that the king takes the penknife that was in his hand, sitting there at the fire. It was in the winter house. Whenever the three or four leaves of the book were read to him, his heart rebelled against what God was saying to him. And he took the book, the roll, and they cut it in pieces. They threw it into the fire. So hard was his heart, so far from God. You can't destroy God's word like that, friend. God's word still abides. The word of the Lord abideth forever. And we live in a nation, let's be honest, we live in a wee province that no longer desires to hear God's word. They don't want God. You see, the act of the king was an act of rebellion. He was rebelling against the word of God. We will not have God. We will not have God's word. We don't want it. We don't want a word from God. I was thinking about that, you know. And remember what the crowd said in Pilate's day? We will not have this man to rule over us. What did they say? We don't want Jesus. The crowd cried it. They shouted, away with him. Crucify him. We will not have this man to rule over us.
You say, what a fool.
You're an unsaved person in this service this morning. That's exactly how you're living. Do you know why you're not saved? You don't want Jesus to rule over you. You don't have to do what Jesus says. You love your sin instead of the Savior. And friend, you have never shouted this out. You said, listen, what a fool to take a penknife and cut the roll in pieces and throw it in the fire. What rebellion. You're an unsaved person. You've heard the message of God's warning week after week, month after month. And you're living a life of rebellion against that same God. But there's one thing that I want you to notice, and we'll be finished in a few moments, friend. Look at verse 24. The king puts roll in the fire. Yet they were not afraid, nor rent their garment. Neither the king nor any of his servants that heard all these words. Yet they were not afraid. You know, one of the marks of this day in which we live in the last days, friend, there's no fear of God before men's eyes. People are so indifferent to the things of God. They talk so glibly about the most solemn threatening of the judgment of God, friend. And there's no fear of God. Yet they were not afraid. It was the great Jonathan Edwards who preached a sermon one day, Sinners in the Hands of an Angry God. And as Jonathan Edwards preached that word, the Spirit of God came down upon that congregation. On that text of Scripture, it is a fearful thing. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. And as he preached the message, the congregation were so stirred by the power of the Spirit of God that men and women sat in their seats and they held on to their seats. Some were sitting there at poles and they put their arms around the pole and they cried out, "Preacher, stop! Preacher, stop your preaching and lead us to Christ!" They felt their very seat going from under them. They felt their very bodies, just as it were, dropping into hell, falling into the hands of the living God. Only the Spirit of God can do that. Oh, may God come and convince men and women today how true those words are. It is a fearful thing. Have you ever thought of it, friend? Before the sun that's shining outside there, before that sun may set tonight, that God could take you away and you'll fall into the hands of the God you rejected. You'll fall into the hands of the God that you despise. And God's word says, it's a fearful thing. May God open your eyes to that reality today. And may God give you grace to run to Him. But praise God, there is no pardoning God like Him. He's a God that is ready to pardon. And God says, tell them, Habakkuk,
Tell them. Write it down. Haddock, read it. That they may turn.
That they may turn from their sin. And as Barak read, and as Jeremiah meditated upon the sin of his day, his heart was burdened. May God give us a burdened heart for our loved ones this day, for Jesus' sake. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank Thee and we praise Thee that we can worship at Your feet. For Thou art God who made heaven and earth. Thou art the God who breathed into us the breath of life and we became a living soul. Thou art the God who one day will command that soul to leave this body. O God, our Heavenly Father, Thou wilt take us out into eternity. One day to stand in Thy presence before Thee. And O God, I pray that Thou will give every one of Your redeemed people a burden. Give us a burden for the lost. Give us a burden for ones. Please, God, don't let them die in their sin. Please, God, don't let them go to hell. And give us a love for them like we've never had. Help us to reach them in Your name. I beseech You by the mercies of God. Help us, our God, in Christ's stead, to beseech men and women to be reconciled to God. Give us a burden for this church, this congregation, the families, O God, of loving parents, are far from Thee. The families of godly parents that are straying in the wilderness of sin. Please, God, save them. Stop them in their sin. Please, God, in wrath, remember mercy. Bless this nation. Give us a burden for it. And Lord, send us revival in Jesus' name.